you will open your Bible to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and verse number 18. And I'm making no endeavor whatsoever this morning to preach to you. I'm just going to talk to you because that's about as far as I can get my mouth open. But I do want to encourage you to be here for the revival service tonight. I think Brother and Sister Sistig are going to be with us in the service tonight. And as of this moment, 212 people have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many have been reclaimed or saved. But we're believing God for this week that when Brother Smith has to go to the camp meeting or either sends a telegram to Brother Flower, a Sunday, that there will be 250 people have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Praise God. I believe it. How many will believe with us? Because this is revival. Now, I'm only going to use this one verse. Verse number 18, and I'm making no endeavors, I said, to preach a sermon to you. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And there's another scripture in Matthew, verse 21, chapter 21, verse 37, that said, but last of all, he sent his son, saying, they will reverence my son. And he came in John 1:12 to his own, and his own received him not. In a few moments, I want you to think with me and let us look at what God has done to get man to leave their sin and to live for him. But don't forget this one thought. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And then if you go back into the history of the Old Testament, you will find always when the vision began to dim and the people begin to settle down on their lees, then they begin to lose the blessing of God. You have a marvelous church here at Covina. You have a marvelous church board, and for the past 16 years, I've had the privilege of working with the finest group of men which you have elected to this church board. Men that have had a vision. And for 2 years, almost in our board meetings, this church board has said, Pastor Lindsay, we must go forward. And I felt this. And I knew this, but my physical strength seemed impossible. And one day I prayed and I said, Lord, if this is your will, then we will move in the direction that you want us to move. About 8 years, and it may be 9 years ago, but I'm not real positive because I tried to go back and search through my notes, and I was in such pain and agony yesterday until I could hardly read one sentence. I'd read this and I'd forget the one that I'd read to see where I'd made a notation. But some of you will remember that one day I was in the office, and I'd been before the Lord in prayer, And I walked out of the back door of the church into the alley. I'm talking of the old church building now. And as I got out into the alley, all at once I felt a strange sense of His divine presence settling down upon me. And I stopped and I waited, because I have known Him, as I have been preaching now 38 years this month, never to go beyond that touch, that presence of God. And it were as though it was a vision that was appearing unto me, and yet I was conscious of the fact that I was standing in the alleyway. And then I began to follow the leading of the Spirit. And God began to show me, and He said, "Now I want you to buy all of this land east of this alley up to the next street." And I said, "Lord, we don't have the money." And He said, "This is not what I said. I said, just buy all of this land. And then I want you," at that time, Brother Applegate, where is he? Somewhere here, has lived almost right over there, Brother Applegate. And then there was another house about where the platform of the choir is here. And He said, "I want you to buy all of this property." And this began to enlarge, and it began to enlarge, and God said, "You are going to need it." And one day He said, "There's going to be such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Come in this place until people are going to be coming from all over just to sit in here and to be prayed for." And then I began to go further in the Spirit, and God said, "I'm going to pour my Spirit out in such a way until all manners of diseases are going to be healed. And they're going to hear about it all over. And they're going to come, and they're going to come until you'll have to be having church all of the time, because there'll not be room enough. You won't be able to build large enough for them all to get in. So they'll be doing it in the daytime and in the nighttime as well." Do any of you remember me mentioning this to you on a Sunday morning from the pulpit? And I'm trying yet to find the time. This is when it was then. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. I've been trying to put it all together, Sister Sistick, but with this heart attack that I've had and this surgery that I've just gotten through with Friday evening, it's been hard for me, but I still know what God's talking to me inside about. You see, where there's no vision, the people perish. And when we started this, it looked like it was just utterly impossible, but all of you wonderful people have made this possible. You have loaned us your money, and it is your money that has made what is here today possible. And it's only made possible for one reason, and that is that these men and women, Brother Schmidt, are going to hear about it, like that prophecy that came and said, "I'm going to send in people that you don't even know about and that hasn't even heard about it, and they're going to come in to this place, and I'm going to do something in their lives. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Way back, God had a vision. And God created the world and made a garden and put all of those things, all of those animals in that garden. And God said it was good, but he wasn't satisfied with it. And he said, let us make man in our own likeness, in our own image. And you know what a vision is? A vision is the image of the real thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. God said, let us make man in our own image. And God had a vision of a world of people that was free from sin and sickness and disease and sufferings and difficulties. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God said, I want them to be able to serve me without any limitations upon it. Hallelujah. And then along came sin and marred the whole picture. And then God began, and he never lost that vision. And he sent Noah and the flood and destroyed the world, it seemed. And then started all over again. And man again marred the vision. He sent Moses and the law and the idea of the blood sacrifice. Then he sent David and his wonderful songs of praise. And he sent him this wonderful picture of forgiveness of sins, that man can and will have his sins forgiven. Glory to God. And he sent Jeremiah and he taught men how to weep and to cry before God. He sent Isaiah with his loving invitation, saying, oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come and drink. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He sent Isaiah and said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He sent the kings of the earth and the captivity and their chastisement. And for all of this, every plan, it seemed, had failed. It wasn't God's fault. It was man's fault that it failed, because the heart of man is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. And he said, and who can know it? And then the great hour struck. The greatest thing that he ever did, my friend, was at last of all, when he told that story in Matthew, and I gave you the text of this vineyard, and he put his laborers in there, and he sent to collect his rent, and they killed him. He sent others, and they killed him. He sent others, and they killed him. And it said, and last of all, he sent his son, and he said, they will receive him. The great artist, God our Father, this is Father's Day, was ready now to paint the great masterpiece of all time. He sent his son as he painted this picture, my friend, to reveal his own heart, to reveal to you and I the vision which he had of a world without sin, and a world of beauty, and a world of perfection, and a world of holiness. If you want to know God this morning, and what God is, and what God is like, Just kneel down and open your heart this morning and let Him send Jesus into your heart. You get a vision of Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. And you'll have the image of God stamped indelibly upon your heart. You'll know Him in all of His power, in all of His reality. God sent His Son to be a living picture of God's power. And this is what we've been seeing in this revival meeting. Glory to God. Yes, say, preacher, why does all of those people fall over on the floor? I'll tell you why they fall over on the floor. If you, my friend, will come to the feet of Jesus this morning and get a glimpse of Him, if you get a picture of God's own heart, you'll be like John of old when he was so old, my friend, until they'd have to lead him onto the platform. When he was so old, they tried to boil him in oil and destroy him. And finally they said, "We will get rid of you." And they loaded him in a ship with a one-way ticket to the old rocky Isle of Patmos. And they placed John out there on Patmos and said, "Goodbye. Your bones will bleach out here with the rest of these prisoners in the sun." And John was out on Patmos Isle, and the buzzards flying around just waiting for him to die. And the waves, as lonesome as they could be, beating against those rocks. Not a church member to comfort his heart. Not a get well card. Not a rosebud. My friend, not a song. There wasn't anything but despondency and despair out there. But let me tell you one thing. John had already had a vision of Jesus. Thank God. And under those circumstances, John said, "I got in the Spirit in the Lord's day." Oh, shandoroko bariandalalalalababakatara. I got in the Spirit. My God, help us this morning in this first service in this new sanctuary to get in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, help us to get a vision of Jesus like John had. "I got in the Spirit," he said. Hallelujah. In the Lord's day. And you know what followed. He said, "I seen him standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks, girdled about the paps of the golden girdle. His hair was whiter than the driven snow. His feet burned as if they were in a furnace of brass." He said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one that was dead." You think it's because this evangelist has come up there and put his hands on them people that they've been falling over a million times? No. Marvin Smith can't make anybody fall over. Judge Lindsay can't make anybody fall over. But when the Holy Ghost pulls back the curtain, thank God, and man gets a glimpse of him standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Oh, when we see him, thank God, with that long flowing white hair, we see him girdled about the paps of with a golden girdle. We see him in full authority, for all power has been delivered into his hands. Hallelujah. As we see him sitting at the right hand of God the Father, there is no human flesh that can stand on its two feet. It will melt and go down under the power of God. Hallelujah. It has to melt. It has to go down. And this is the reason that you and I have got to be changed before we can go in the rapture, because this human body, with all of its corruption, with all of its heart troubles and its toothaches and its back aches and all of its other aches, it cannot stand in the presence of an almighty God. But at the sound of the trumpet, he sent his son to display his power. Oh, I like what Paul said in that 26th chapter, I thank God, of the book of Acts, and I'm feeling a little better now. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, Paul was brought before the court, and they was giving him a trial, and you know, finally they said, Paul, you're permitted to speak for yourself. You got anything to say? And he said, oh, King, I'm most happy to tell you what I've got to say. And he began to relate his experience on the Damascus Road. I want you to get this. And there was a group of people traveling down that Damascus Road with him. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I heard a voice. I seen the sun above the brightness of the noonday sun. I fell to the ground. Paul, the great Sanhedrin lawyer, fell down to the ground, and everybody else standing up there looking at him, looking around, wondering what Paul was doing, laying on the ground. This little humpback, high-powered, high-educated Jew, a member of the Sanhedrin court, laying on the ground. He said, nobody else heard the voice. Did you get this? Nobody else seen what I seen. Oh, today somehow, if God would lay his hand upon us and we could fall at his feet like John on the rocky Isle of Patmos. Hallelujah. Isn't it a mystery? Yes, the kingdom of God is a mystery. How one person can fall and 100 others can stand and look at him. And all of the time, Paul is hearing a voice saying, I'm making you an apostle to the Gentiles. I'm sending you with a ministry. It's hard for you to kick against these pricks. They never heard one thing that was said. I like this because I can just come and get before Jesus and shut you out. And I can talk with him and he can talk with me. Glory to God. Oh, friend, I tell you, I believe that God is just beginning, thank God, to do the most marvelous thing that we have ever witnessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, well, look, it took something. It took a lot of pride, because inside of the pocket of this lawyer from the Sanhedrin court was papers to arrest every man that even mentioned the name, even talked about the name of Jesus, and put them in prison. But oh, what a change. What brought about that change? I've had a vision of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know this morning that Covina Assembly of God Church has under contract today in their name every piece of property from the corner of School Street and Second going east up to First Street, except one 50-foot lot sitting in there. All of the way, God said, I want you to get all of this property. I walked in the grinder world the other day, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm getting about ready to retire, and when I do, I want to sell you this corner, all of this grinder world property. I want you to have it, because he said, you're going to need it. Friend, one of these days, before too long, Edison's going to move right here, this little 50. They haven't got quite that much now. And God made my heart jump inside and said, you get that 50 feet. We tried to go over here and buy all of this across the street, you know, and we thought maybe God wanted us to go that way. That ain't what God wants us to do, my friend. We've had a vision. Hallelujah. And not only just myself, but these people in Covina Assembly has had a vision. And in any building program, there's difficulties and there's problems and there's little hurts here and little hurts there. But oh, how they disappear when we get a vision of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother, when God got through with John out there on the rocky Isle of Patmos, he wasn't hurt at the church at Ephesus because they didn't send him a get well card. He wasn't mad at the church at Philippi because they didn't send him some flowers. Brother, when God got through with him, when he walked through those ivory palaces of glory, when God led him, my friend, throughout that great category of palaces in heaven, he wasn't mad at a living soul. And when you and I get a vision of Jesus, hallelujah, I feel something taking place in here this morning. It might not have been the color that you wanted. It may not have the kind of light you wanted. It may not even have the kind of PA system you wanted. It may not have been so many things that you wanted. But this is what God has given us. Hallelujah. This is what God has given us. And I tell you, as I stand here this morning, that our missionary outreach is going to go further out there than it has ever been. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, if God somehow, and I keep saying if God somehow, and I know how he has to do it, he has to bring us down right to the feet of Jesus to where we can get that vision. For without a vision, the people perish. I'm wondering how many people are in here this morning that was in that little old bitty wood church building that stood over there on the corner of 2nd and School Street. Would you mind just standing up quietly for a minute? Now, just stay there, will you, for a minute? I heard of a former pastor, Elton Hill, and wasn't Brother Blackard, Brother Clint Blackard over there. I'm heard Elton Hill say that when he came here, that they wasn't even able to pay their bills, and I believe they was working, if I'm correct in my thinking now. I don't want to be wrong, and if I am, you forgive me, because I'm not doing a... But in a board meeting, was any of you that standing here in that board meeting when that church board said whether we can pay our bills or whether we can't, that we're going to give 10% of what we've got to missions? We want 10%. Hold your hand up. You was here when that meeting... I know there were some people in there. Yeah, I see it back there. When they couldn't pay their bills, and when they couldn't even pay the salary of the pastor, they said, we're going to give 10% of what money we get in here. And it was brought up and they passed it. I'm not taking any credit for this today here. I'm not taking any credit for anything. The credit belongs to this group of people that's standing up here this morning on their feet that had a vision. And they wasn't afraid to move. They wasn't afraid to go in debt. They wasn't afraid to pray and believe God that God somehow would see them through. I want you to see this, evangelist. And last year, Covina Assembly of God was second in the nation in giving to missions. And the day will come when Covina Assembly of God Church will be first in giving to missions. You know why? Your men and women big enough, and I believe you've got enough God in you to go to one another when wrongs have been made and put your arms around one another and let your tears mingle together and ask one another to forgive you. And said, brethren, I've had a vision of Jesus. And I've got to go on. I've seen it happen. And this today is the results of men and women and that little old bitty wood building that sat on that corner that got before God and said, by the grace of God, we'll give 10% to missions. And I trust that the day comes, and I don't know how God's going to do it, and I've quit questioning how he's going to do it. And I trust the day comes that when this group that's standing here today on their feet will see that every bit of the finances that come through this church, except just meeting its regular expenses to operate, goes to preaching the gospel of Jesus to somebody that's never heard that story. Will you raise your hand with me and pray that God right now will give us that kind of a vision? Will you do it? Do you mean it? Open up your heart for a minute. Talk to God for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I'll be through in just a moment.